Welcome to the Cycling Matters Podcast, your weekly dose of discussions about our love for bike. This podcast is brought to you in cooperation with Ciclo. Hello, I'm Karen.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Brian.
Ooh. Nice. So finally, guys, after mentioning Brian, one of our CM partners, Hiron, I put in quotation marks.
Yeah, why are there quotation marks?
Because we keep mentioning one of our partners, Brian. So, Hiron, after mentioning him a lot of times last year, he finally joins us in the show.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, King can't be with us for this episode because he's on his full-time job right now. Mm. So, hindi na siya Coach King. Full-time job na siya.
Full-time job King.
So, starting this episode, we'll be hearing more of Brian as a host and not just a mystery CM guy to whom we always refer to in our podcast. So, also in this episode, we'll be talking about our cycling hopes and dreams for the year 2020. So, before anything else, please subscribe to the Cycling Matters podcast on Spotify, YouTube, and other podcast platforms. We release new episodes every Monday, so just search Cycling Matters and tap subscribe or follow. And enjoy the discussion. So last season, Jan King and I had a lot of fun talking about cycling with our guests. For the first 15 episodes, we got to share a lot about ourselves, cycling life, and a bit of our personal lives. So now, as we start a new podcast season, I think it's only fair that we get to know more about Brian first. So Brian, who are you?
On the spot.
Who are you?
Hot seat.
Yeah, so can you tell us a bit about yourself?
So I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jan. And I'm Brian.
Like, what do you do for a living?
You guys were talking about me so much, apparently, last season. My dad was just saying, I keep hearing about you in this podcast. I teach history. But currently, I'm a PhD student, so I'm pursuing my doctoral degree. And that gives me more time to do podcasts and ride my bike.
Yay!
So yeah, I think that's as simple as it gets.
And how did you get into cycling?
I think we all get into cycling as kids.
Not me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to exclude you. as a kid, BMX, got my BMX. Actually, even before the BMX, there was a smaller... Mm. Not the Strider type bike, but rather
with pedals.
A small bike, complete with the training wheels, and that's how I got into cycling. And I'm not sure if you guys empathize, but when you're a kid, you play with toys like it's flying, like you have a plane or a spaceship or whatever. But I think the moment you start riding a bike, it's the closest you can to feeling like you're flying, like you're actually like a pilot. So many of the fantasies growing up was pretending that the bike was a fighter plane or and I don't think most of us just go on from that. We keep going. So I went to my BMX, and then all throughout high school I was riding my sister's woman bike, like the step-through type bike. Right. It was pink. And then through college I was a bike commuter, so that's how I got into cycling.
In college, where would you bike commute from?
Usually just around the area of the university.
Okay.
So do errands here and there, but for the most part that was it. So not really legit 10-kilometer type bike commuting, but enough to ride around.
So how long have you been bike commuting since you started?
I stopped in college. I mean, after college, I stopped. And then when I started working at university again, that's when I started riding a bike again. And yeah, it took a while to get used to riding out on the street, because it's one thing to be riding your bike in near your house, but but riding on the street. So
How long did it take you to get used to?
Nakakayang sabihin, pero around 6 months. It's more of the look back thing. That's hard to get.
That's hard to get normal, right. I think 6 months.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not
maybe
fun.
Not for Nicole Balawing. Hi, Nicole. Nicole took like 2 weeks and just went with it.
For context, Nicole Balawing was one of our guests in season one of the podcast. She was in our Women Matters episode, which is a veteran and a beginner cyclist. She's a beginner cyclist, but she's been bike commuting regularly. Mm-hmm. So, hello, Nicole, if you're listening.
Hi, Nicole.
But for me, I think it also took around 6 months.
Yeah, to be...
Yeah.
6 months is, you know, when you get to that point where you feel like this is as safe or close to as safe as you can be on the bike. Because I'm usually asked, I mean, one of the questions we're always asked is, do you feel safe riding around Metro Manila? Mm-hmm. And currently, I feel absolutely safe when I ride my bike. Like, it doesn't occur to me that this is a dangerous thing. It's just part of mobility for us. So I think that's the 6 months, getting to the point where you feel like every time you go out, more than less, you're going to be fine. Yeah, 6 months.
All right. So what is your fondest cycling memory?
Sobrang pang autograph book.
Oh my gosh, I remember it though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really have a fondest cycling memory, but I do remember when I was growing up, our street had two speed bumps.
Okay.
One end to the other. And I remember when I was growing up, my dad's rule was I can only ride my bike between those two speed bumps.
Oh, okay.
Like that was my approved territory. Oh, yeah, yeah. So beyond that is like, you know,
off limits.
Yeah. Like I'm not even allowed to go a little bit past it. But yeah, I remember the time when I went around the block. So I went past the speed bump, came around the corner and around the block. And when my dad got home, I remember I summoned the courage to be honest and tell him I broke the rule and I went around the cycling block. And he said, okay. Did you feel okay? And I said, yes.
Wow.
So I got promoted that day.
He said, now
you can just go around that block. And that was one of my breakthrough moments riding a bike. Aside from the trainer thing, the trainer wheels. Training wheels.
Cool.
Which is no longer done. Like I think most kids today they do the Strider.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What I heard is they mostly sell Striders. Like when you go to bike stores, when you ask for a bike with training wheels, the mechanics and the salespeople will be what's that?
Right.
No, but I think that the literature is that it really is harder to learn with training wheels because it makes you so dependent on trying to balance using the training wheels.
Yeah, I did learn with training wheels.
Parang you're more dependent on the actual training wheels than yourself.
Ginawa ba sa'yo yung tinanggal yung isang training wheel?
Oh.
Yeah. Classic.
Or like, ibe-bend ng konti?
Oh, ibe-bend pataas siya ng pataas?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Because when I was taught before, I don't even remember with the whole training wheels thing because after that I didn't ride a bike for a really long time because my mom was very overprotective.
Wait, so you learned how to bike and then you stopped?
Yes, and then I forgot. And then I learned again when I was 18 from my dad. And then he was just holding the back of the saddle.
Yeah.
And then he just let go and he was like, "You're biking. Yay!"
And then now you can stop. Like stop riding.
Sorry.
Oh, this was when you started riding again.
Yes, okay. When I was 18.
Yeah.
This is several years in between. So, what is your greatest cycling fear?
Oh, wow.
Ako, unicycles. I worry they're gonna take over.
What?
Wait, what's wrong with unicycles for you?
They just kind of freak me out because there's no...
Don't ride with it.
No, I mean, cycling fear, crashing. I mean, I've taken a couple of spills. Some of them were pretty, not naman really serious, but bad enough to put me out of commission for a few months. And that's never fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not young, so recovery for me is a little bit harder. And yeah. So yeah, I mean, just the usual. It's so mundane, pero crashing, just not really fun.
Okay, so we're going to shift more to Cycling Matters itself. So when you and John first thought of Cycling Matters, what did you envision?
That's such a heavy word. Envision.
For cycling.
It's not really proportionate to the kind of meeting we had.
Yeah.
We just sat and he had a notebook. I remember uh-huh. he had a notebook, was it?
Or
a laptop. He had a laptop. Actually, it was a coming together of two
different ideas. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of making an app, which I will not disclose right now because I'm someone might steal it. Yeah, it was an app, and then one day I think I just messaged Brian, na parang hey, I have this idea and would you be interested? And he was like, oh, I've been thinking of something too, for a while now. Then.
Maybe although mas traditional kasi ako, like yeah. I couldn't think of an app or anything of the sort. I have no coding skills.
Mm-hmm.
I really was just thinking about something like this, trying to get the word out on cycling through very back then. To me, I mean, I'm revealing my age, but blog talaga, di ba?
Right.
It's like an online magazine type thing.
And well, it made sense din naman kasi we didn't, you know, putting out an app immediately would have not been very effective given the number of people who were biking at that time.
And I think
even now, I think it's not yet the right time to come out with an app.
That's true.
Yeah, we still need to get the word out.
And I think we agreed that we wanted a wider platform
mm-hmm.
upon which we could build all of these other things that we had in mind.
Parang community first, and then you provide the tools eventually.
Yes, build the following first.
Yeah.
Through cycling ladders.
That's right, yeah.
So thank you to everyone who's listening. You're part of our community.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
A growing community, apparently.
So, last year, we ended the first season with our New Year's resolutions. Karen, King, and I gave 5 resolutions each. Some of us pledged to bike commute for more, teach more people how to ride bikes. That was me. And I haven't started. Or simply to be healthier and be able to ride longer distances this year. As we start the new year, decade, and this new podcast season, we want to talk about our cycling dreams. To my co-hosts, what are your hopes and dreams for cycling in the Philippines? Let's keep it short to medium term. What do you wish to happen this year?
Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, me first. Oh no. Short term. Honestly, I guess because I bike commuted for the first time in a while from Quezon City to Makati earlier. And I really just wanted more trees. Because masakit siya sa balat. When in the areas where there are no trees, I was really suffering. And also because I'm not used to it. Because I came from the Christmas break and I didn't bike for a long time. So trees really make a difference. And even though it's not directly related to cycling.
Also, it's not really short term too.
Oh, that's true. Right. I'm so sorry. I was just thinking trees. Right. It's not very short term, but I really feel like...
Although you could say maybe stop cutting trees.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty short term. Like if we could just stop all this road widening,
mm-hmm.
Tree cutting, that could be pretty immediate.
Yeah, because it's induced demand. The more you widen roads, the more cars can fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel the difference of temperature when I'm near cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really feel the heat radiating beside me and compared to when I'm riding and there are no cars near me. Especially now, because the weather's cooler around low 20s, so I really feel the breeze.
Actually, in our province, Zambales,
mm-hmm.
some areas have been road widened. Oh. The roads have been widened. And I remember that some of those roads were my favorite parts of riding to Zambales because the trees provided enough cover. And you always felt good, like good vibe siya pag nandun ka na sa part na yon. But these days, it's just exposed to the sun. And yeah, I understand what you mean. Masakit siya sa balat. Like,
yeah, it's not pleasant. But I mean, I still enjoy cycling. But it's just, you know that your experience would be more pleasant if there were more trees, less motorized vehicles. And yeah, that's what I have in mind at first. But maybe, how about you, Brian?
Oh, no.
How about you?
Putting you on the spot.
Actually, my short-term dreams was that. So you took it.
Really?
No. I think short term is less about, because before the episode we started recording, we were talking about infra maybe and yeah. stuff. I think it would be easier to shift our, or this is going to be controversial, the idea of shifting our mindset, our culture, or the way we think about bicycles in so many ways.
I
know arguably it's actually harder to change culture than to just put in a bike lane somewhere. But things, very simple things, like some people think that bikes are only for cyclists, but actually bikes are for anyone. Like, doesn't matter if you're old, you're young, you're a woman, you're a man, you're pregnant, you're slightly less fit, you have issues with your health. There's so many ways to get around all these obstacles these days.
Yes.
We now have electric bikes. So the idea sana that bikes could be for everyone. That would be a big shift, I think. And I think the idea that sometimes the word cyclist is good because we form a community, but sometimes it also becomes us a and label. Them.
Othering.
Othering. Oh, that's the most So ako, just a shift maybe in our mindsets for the short term. I think it's happening though, right?
One by one, I think.
Speaking of cycling being for everyone. In December I went to Taiwan, Taipei in particular, which is a very cycling friendly city. And when I went there, what I really noticed was that there were so many elderly people on bikes, and not the pedal assisted bikes, just regular utility bikes. And you see that it's such an easy way for them to get around, and then they do errands on their bikes. So I just remember how people say, "Oh, we can't bike here in Metro Manila. How about the old people? How about the children?" But I think it's more of providing the infrastructure, the environment to make it friendly to cycling.
Yeah, there are really a lot of ways. I mean, we can count so many countries and cities that are already adopting many methods to make it easier for a lot of people, right? And it's just really a matter of adopting them.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my apparently short to long term.
Wawas, Jan.
Short to medium term dream. Mine is just for LGUs to finally, you know, deliver and you know, push through with their plans, whatever lip service they've been doing, transform that into actual action. I'm talking about Quezon City. I'm talking about Makati.
Oh, wow. We're calling, we're calling out specific LGUs.
Are you calling out your relatives?
My relatives. Hindi naman, kasi, okay, Quezon City did talk about allotting already a budget, but you've seen only green lanes that sometimes don't even have bicycle icons to signify that they're for bicycles. So there's a lot of confusion from people about what it's for. But really, I think, you know, if LGU leaders really want to make things happen, they have to start talking to each other and making it work. And not just, you know, making pretty lines and you know, pretend infrastructure to me.
Yeah, I mean, even the ordinance about bike parking, commercial establishments having to provide bike parking.
Yeah.
If it were implemented more, I think everyone wins. Commercial establishments will win because they get more customers. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people actually talk to us and say, we do more bike commuting, but it's so hard to find bike parking.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about racks. I mean, it would be better if we could have actual, safe, secure bike parking.
And the political climate, I think, is also, I mean, this is, I think, the best time to do something, enforce something that people will have to follow. Diba? Because ngayon lang tayo nakita ng administration, I'm not gonna be positive or negative about this, I'm just saying that where they will have enough political will to implement something, and then the next day or the same day is implemented. Diba? We last week, suddenly sinabi na, although they retracted it, they suddenly said na bawal na yung mga taxi motorcycle taxis. Diba? And those things, just words, become immediately orders, are treated like orders by the policemen.
Diba? So you're saying, why can't they just make it good things, like,
yeah, yeah. Diba? Yeah. If we have enough political will to do some weird or questionable things,
yeah,
why can't we have that same political will to do things that will actually
benefit, like, in your mind, everyone? Why can't we just draw a line across Google Map,
uh-huh,
and then say this is now a bike lane?
I guess. The reason why I'm a bit optimistic about this is because I can see it in Quezon City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of drivers do try to respect the bike lane. I mean, along Katipunan pa lang, makikita mo talagang,
that's right, yeah,
pinagbibigyan na nila yung green lane. Yeah. It's just that there are still roads where there are two lanes where only one can fit.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? So, may mga ganong things that have to be addressed only by actually using the money in more concrete ways.
Yeah, and we can do more and better. Not just doing it for cosmetic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I think because you can say, oh, I built, our city built bike infrastructure, but does it actually work, yeah, for those who ride their bikes?
I mean, I think to give credit to them, no, I would say with parang, I would give them the benefit of the doubt by saying that it's probably not cosmetic. Okay, sige, sabihin natin hindi cosmetic. It's probably them saying na, oh, we're trying it out. We're seeing if there's actually going to be demand, if people are going to use it. But the thing is, if you do it half-baked, no one's, it's not going to show any good results, diba?
Yeah, I mean, but on the other hand, though, it's also not just a matter of cosmetics. Like it's not just, because I'm saying, even if it's not a protected lane,
mm-hmm,
if the culture shifts, yeah, towards mutual respect on the road, Even a green line, because you're already seeing it, like, a lot of drivers are actually giving way.
Yeah.
So that's just a cultural shift, like a mindset shifting. Mm-hmm. If drivers just, and many of them are actually well-meaning.
Yeah.
They would want to respect the bike lane. So I don't think it takes a lot. Like we don't really need a lot, right?
Yeah.
We just need more than this,
mm-hmm,
because this is.
Some people say online that it's really just. It could be just actually labeling the bike lane as a bike lane. It mm-hmm starts there, people knowing that there are other people supposed to be there.
Because there was confusion initially what that green line was.
Oh, diba? Is it for motorcycles? Is it for bikes? Is it for pedestrians? Right. Diba? Kasi may time na, oh, I posted na, ang saya kasi nire-respeto na ng mga drivers yung bike lane na green line.
Yeah.
And then someone pointed out sa photo na pinost ko na, pero nakita mo ba yung sidewalk?
Yeah.
So, merong mga ganun.
Speaking of LGUs, though, I do wish they would kind of standardize. I mean, it's, yes, Metro Manila is such a small place. I mean, Quezon City, it's green.
Mm-hmm.
For Pasig, it's that white line with cones. Yeah, uh-huh. And then,
and occasionally blue paint.
Because it helps push the mindset, right? Like,
yeah,
if it could be consistent, whether you're in Parañaque or, yeah.
Yeah, ang hirap siguro nun kasi iba-ibang brand of leadership eh, di ba?
Saka may mga social na paint.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's MMDA who has to unite the LGUs or I'm not sure.
And the speaking bureaucracy. From experience, from dealing with government offices, even with business pa lang, they don't coordinate with each other. Mm-hmm. So, what more something like this? But I think it's something that they need to do because we don't exist in isolation of each other. People travel across cities and it would be ideal for it to be streamlined. Like, of course, each LGU has its own planning, but then there should also be planning between LGUs. It's very difficult.
But might we suggest, if we're going to settle on a standardized color, can it be Cycling Matters Orange?
Yeah.
For all Metro Manila.
We'll sponsor it. We'll give like 10K.
10K?
10K. Like, I don't know, 20 meters.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, a single color would really help, I think. Because a lot of it is well-meaning motorists who are confused by all of these different road signs that aren't really standard, and we make them up as we go along. So I think it would.
And if it's not much to ask, maybe maintenance.
That's true.
Kumawa na yung ano, Pasig City, ano, Ortigas bike lanes.
I know.
I literally saw one of the motorcycle riders trying to pull out cones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just some riders or drivers really just want to dilapidate these ball, I don't know what you call them, bollards.
Yeah,
I was about to say a bad word. what? British is bollocks or something like that. Yeah, bollards. Kasi tinatanggal, binubunot nila yung forcibly.
Para
or like sasagasaan nila. Yeah. Either para makapasok or para lang, you know, araw-araw gagawin nila yun, matatanggal talaga yun, diba? Okay.
Destruction of
property. It is, yeah, but no one's there to catch them, diba? So, I think, yung mga ganun, kailangan na may maintain yun. Kasi if we can maintain a road and keep repaving roads, why can't we repaint lines?
But also, it's a lot more dangerous for a bike. When you have a pothole, we suddenly have to swerve out, which is not what you want to do as a cyclist. But a lot of cyclists have a tendency, instead of stopping to look first, we'll just kind of veer out into the... So I think they don't understand that to a bike, it's a lot, you know, there's a lot more danger. It's a bigger hazard to us than maybe to say a car.
Because,
so, sana they maintain our bike lanes.
Sana lang naman. Baka pwede lang.
Guys, please. So, I guess, like, just to sum it up, we just want, well, first, a change in mindset, which might be a bit more difficult in the long term, but then hopefully more people can do it. And also, hopefully, support from the LGUs with infrastructure. So hopefully, we at Cycling Matters, we can also do our part and push
and
for that.
Paint.
we're gonna paint the roads orange.
But have you seen those guerrilla bike lanes?
Yeah. Oh.
Plunger. Like
minsan plunger, minsan eggs.
Eggs?
What? Yeah, na parang if you hit it, diba? If the driver hits the eggs, kita na, you know.
I see. Okay.
They ignore, they disregard the bike lane.
But yeah, I mean, plungers are...
plungers.
Medyo political statement siya.
Oh.
Maybe we can ask our viewers.
What would you use to make guerrilla bike lanes?
No, no, no. I meant, what are their short-term...
Okay.
Baka kung ano
sa... creative yung cue natin eh. Para, anong gagamitin mo? Ako, sandwiches.
Sandwiches?
Oh, sayang naman.
Pinupulot lang ng kursino.
Okay, so the question to the listeners is, sorry?
What are their short to medium-term dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Although no pressure, you can also give long-term, but ideally something that we can...
Like trees.
Like trees.
God, I'm so sorry. But ideally something we can at least start implementing or pushing for this 2020. So... leave it in the comments or even message us and maybe we'll post it.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, that ends our very first episode of the second season of the Cycling Matters podcast. So, if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the Cycling Matters podcast on Spotify, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts. Our episodes are the next best thing to riding your bike on a Monday. Just search Cycling Matters on your favorite podcast platform while brewing your morning coffee or tea. Put on some earphones and enjoy the discussion. You can catch more of Cycling Matters on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, or on our website at cyclingmatters.ph. So thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. Until then, ride safe, Philippines. Bye!